Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's May 3rd. And what a beautiful day it's going to be. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. And if you want to send us an email, just send it to Linda at KCNR1460.com. We take your questions over the internet also. What a great day it's going to be today. We have people here. We have topics. We have a full show. But first, we're going to start off with our supporting cast. Bad Bob.
Good morning. The lake is fantastic.
Well, you were out there all week, and you took Friday off, and I hope you enjoyed the whole weekend.
It was great. It was busy. Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We just had an excellent time, and Sunday we collapsed in a heap and recovered, and lots of good training out there with the Coast Guard Auxiliary, and we're ready for a big season. The lake is going to be just incredible.
Can people still get with the Coast Guard to train and be, not weekend warriors, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, we're always looking for new members. As a matter of fact, my lovely wife Brenda is the new member coordinator, and anybody who'd like to find out more about the auxiliary and our activities, we have National Safe Boating Week coming up, a big event out there at Whiskeytown Lake. Anybody who'd like to learn more about the auxiliary, both for boating safety and taking America's Safe Boating class, we're always welcome.
Fantastic. We'll cover that and more as we get
And speaking
closer.
Of fantastic.
Oh.
There's my bride.
Well, 39 degrees. I don't know about you. It doesn't feel like 39 degrees. I didn't even wear a coat when I left this morning. It feels wonderful out. But the forecast says there's going to be a slight chance of TSTMS, which is abbreviated for it. Thunderstorms.
Today?
Yeah, that's what it says.
That's not what
20% slight chance of thunderstorms with a high of 77. But
That wasn't what Cheetah said.
I know. We love to watch Cheetah in the morning. Cheetah makes us smile.
Yeah. Okay.
But it looks to me on one of our radars that it is going to be a beautiful sunny day. So I'm pretending and thinking that it is because it is Monday, so we want to begin with a sunny disposition. I do have a couple announcements to make regarding some sober grad. Anderson High School is doing a car wash. May 8th, great time to take out your mom's car, get it cleaned before you do something with her, maybe for brunch. So from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Napa Auto Parts on the corner of Balls Ferry and McMurray, Anderson School is going to be doing their sober graduation fundraiser. Also, Saturday, May 8th, from 3 to 5, the senior class sober graduation fundraiser will be a bowling party. And this is also for the Anderson Sober Grad. We're at Anderson Bowl. If you can't make it to the car wash, then go bowling. It's going to cost $10, includes shoes and 2 hours of bowling, plus good music and good fun. So that's this Saturday from 3 to 5. You can go bowling in Anderson. It'll be a lot of fun. And also for a great thing, and that is Sober Grad.
Well, the other things that, well, you're doing all the community things. Okay, I've got just any number of subjects that we're going to be talking about. But we're going to be, one of them is that when the Senate voted on the health care bill, they voted on a few other things, too, and they pushed out some amendments to answer some of the of what happened in the health care bill. And what they voted to do, and this was strictly along party lines there, the Democrats voted it. It was they voted to tax veterans and children's prosthetic devices and give Viagra to child molesters as part of the health care plan. All that came out of the health care plan. Last week, the Republican senators made a number of amendments to the bill that were, voted down, allowing the above travesties to continue. And, yes, it's true. And Barbara Boxer was one of the ones that voted for that. They voted in favor of allowing the federal government to subsidize Viagra for child molesters So did 56 of Reed's Democratic colleagues, including Senators Barbara Boxer, Alan Spector, you know, blah, blah, blah. In addition to supporting these federal subsidies, Reed, Boxer, and the rest of the Democratic caucus also supported taxes on prosthetics for wounded veterans, children's orthopedic devices, an exemption, this is my favorite, an exemption for senior leadership staff from being forced to purchase health insurance from health insurance exchanges, like members of Congress. You know what? Is there something wrong with this? Barbara Boxer's number, by the way, is 202-224-3553. You might want to just call there and say that, ask her if that's true. You know, I read that and said it just happened here in the last week or so. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about editorials in the paper. We're going to be talking about obesity in the armed forces.
And spiders.
And spiders, kind of spiders. And just a few other things before our guests start up. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Make plans.
Good morning, Reading. I like that kind of music. It just
welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
Percolates my system. It's 7:14 in the morning, and taking your calls here 6054567. You're listening to Carl and Lindebaugh here. I do like you, Kyla Lindebaugh. Carl and Lindebaugh. This Monday morning here on KCNR 1460. Today, currently 39 degrees. And it's going to be a beautiful day, high of 77 with, I don't know, according to the National Weather Service, it says slight thunderstorms. But I just want to let you know right now that the weather is brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Went to a cattle roundup there on Saturday. That was real interesting. I won't.
Oh, no, let's just talk about that for a second.
Yep.
You know, we were invited up. They have a regular working cattle operation out there. And Saturday was when they brought him in for the branding of the calves and the neutering of the bull calves. And they had so we got there probably around 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning and watched that for a couple hours. And it's quite an operation. If you've never seen it happen before, how they move the cattle from pen to pen and the they had professional cowboys out there that worked the cattle. You know, they try, to keep the stress to a minimum and for the animals, because RC and chicken don't like to have, the animals overstressed. I mean, it's a stressful time because they have to separate the babies from their mamas and they put them back together.
But
I tell you what, it was quite an operation. It was a great afternoon. Morning, afternoon.
I think on an organic level. It's an education, is just how, if you eat meat where you are anywhere close to, feeding meat to your families and interested in how it works, that is part of it, part of the chain of how things happen. And I've never witnessed it, even though I kind of semi grew up on a ranch, but we didn't have cattle. But that was interesting. So very appreciative. And as Mother's Day, Mother's Day is this weekend. So while we were out there, I mean, they're tied up to reservations on Mother's Day, actually, till 3 o'clock. So if you want to get in, what's happening is the word is out. So Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday night, they have scattered reservations. So get out there quickly. And then as we go on, we're going to talk about some of our other favorite places around town that you can take your mom out for Mother's Day. And you've got something there you're just burning at your fingers with.
Well, I'm waiting for Bob.
Are we ready? Yeah.
Okay, well, you're probably asking yourself, why is this happening? Okay, it's because a group of retired generals and admirals claim that the national security threat not might be of a rogue nation or a terrorist organization, but fat Americans, that's right. 27% of men and women 17 to 24 years old are not fit to join the military. Add that to one-fourth who didn't graduate from high school, which is, you know what, that is a pathetic number.
What
25% of our children don't graduate from high school.
What do we need to do?
And one-fourth who have criminal records. And the armed forces might be unable to fill their ranks, according to the report, Too Fat to Fight, released last week by Mission Readiness. The group believing a change must occur within America's youth is calling for Congress to pass a nutrition bill that would make school lunches healthier. You know, I don't agree with that at all. If you want to make kids healthier, what you do is you start your physical education programs at school. You make them mandatory. You know, kids, you know, they problems are, we don't want our children showering with the other children.
But you know what? That's
they poke fun at them.
You take the junk out of school. You take the junk out of school.
Well, you take that out. But they're doing that. I think they're pretty much done.
That's good.
But what it is while the past few years didn't show an increase in obesity within the ranks, and in fact, the number of people being thrown out of the Navy in the last few years has been reduced, at least for obesity. But part of it could be is that they're deployed all the time and they just don't see everybody. I'm just kidding about that. Anyway, the problem, though, is, and we've heard about it before, this is the first study, is that many of our youth do not make the pass the requirements for either the mental test, having the high school degree, or the physical fitness part of it. And if you think about it, that's kind of scary, because as that pool gets narrower and narrower to choose from, and when the economy starts going back up, now you're going to be competing for people that are smart, in shape, and can think. And so what do you think is going to happen then?
I think it'd be interesting if they did a study of two of the same age, say they lived on the same block, grew up in the same neighborhood, and they followed them for 10 years, say two males. And one was, lived the typical American the old American diet, which was, you know, you ate at 5:30 or 6:30 at the table, home-cooked food, fast food maybe once a week. No, I'm serious, the old
once
days.
Once a week. Well, the old days, honey, they didn't have fast food.
Well, no, you would still go, in my era, you would still maybe have a Taco Bell once a week if you, yeah. All right, so, but anyway, so you did a study, and then the other kid was a gamer. You know, it was on the internet, played games, didn't have physical activity, and let's see, in 10 years, the physical difference between subject A and subject B.
Well, you know, here's my proposal on this, or at least my take on it is that we get the best and the brightest in the military. You can talk any way you want from it. The statistics show middle-class, upper-middle-class families, they all have high school degrees, or 96% of them have high school degrees, and as you can tell, that's much higher than your average civilian population of that group. They've been through schools. They've been trained in leadership. They've been trained to take care of themselves, and they are our best and brightest as our warriors out in front. And then from there, when they get out, they go on to college, and they go on to do great things. But you still have to have people to fill those spots as they empty. And even though the reenlistment rate is in many cases 100% in the services and certain, you know, in certain job specialties there, you still have to fill them through attrition. And so if we start losing the ability to do that, if our teenagers and young adults can't make it either mentally or physically, we're going to have to do something about that. First of all, to see kids that we have an obesity epidemic going on in pre-teenage
kids.
We've
gotten soft as a nation.
I disagree with
that. I'm sorry. I think that goes back to accountability. Get your butt off the couch.
Well,
get outside.
That,
chop the wood.
Chop the wood.
Fill up. Do some chores. Yeah.
Chop the wood.
Chop the wood. Philip, do
about,
the chores.
How about hay the fields?
How about sweep the garage?
How about a commercial? Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bob. Bob, stop it.
I like that. Waka, 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 waka.
Whatever
waka, waka.
It is, Bob. Whatever that strange disease you brought back from the lake, stop it.
sounds like washing your windows after a weekend out in the mud.
605-4567. Carl and Linda Bob. It's Monday, May 3rd, and you're saying, how can they be so happy? It's because...
We're alive.
We're alive, and it's a great day. The dog... Anyway, okay.
We have a special guest before we take this break at 7:30. In case you're just tuning in, it's 7:27. And before we go to the 7:30 Fox break, let's just quickly greet our wonderful guest, Rayola Pratt. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you,
Linda? How are you, Carl?
I'm peachy.
Listen to that voice.
And we're talking the Shasta Art Festival. Festival and old time fiddle jamboree.
You're right, at our new location in Old Shasta on Middle Creek Road, and that's an old mining camp. It's kind of a unique, beautiful setting and a far cry from anything we've ever done.
Really? Well, tell us what's going on. Tell us about it.
Well, of course, we're in an actual historic site, and we're using the old historic road that we rediscovered a couple of years ago. It's the old historic stage road. Our art festival is along that stage road. It goes. We have two rolling hills that that we will be having the festival on. We'll have a stage on one hill, and that will feature the Jim Dyer Band, the Manzanita Band, the many of our acts, and then we'll also have a blessing by the Weaverville Lion Dancers and a performance. And they are a Chinese group, and of course we had Chinese on that land as well. So it's kind of a very historic and wonderful spot.
It sounds like it's going to be just a great time.
May 8th and 9th, and so $4 is all it takes to get
$4, and then of course if you stop by the station, you'll get a coupon, $1 off, so that could be a very cost-effective event.
Meaning the station here at 1326 Market Street, so come by and get, come by and say
get
hi.
Get your coupon, save your money, but this is going to be a great time. You've got a free shuttle bus that leaves on the half hour from the Shasta High School upper lot, so you don't have to park out there and takes you right to the event.
It does. In fact, it takes you inside the entire event and takes you into the stay, or almost to the site of the event, so you get right out in.
That's right. When we come back from this break, we'll go back. We'll talk more about. I understand that let's just talk about the footwear, the appropriate footwear to wear for this event.
Well, it's not flip flops as it used to be. you better wear your I've been saying wear your cowboy boots, your hiking boots, or your combat boots, and come on out because it really is a forest. We've taken the 30 feet of all high, well, I guess it's 15-foot high manzanita, and we've cleared it, and we have a spectacular site out there.
We'll stick with us to the other side of this break. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. I hope you're having a great day. It's 7:34. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, the finest walk-in tobacco emporium in the North State. Espresso Joe sells you, serves you, makes you the best coffee in the North State at great prices. And you can go next door, get your computer out, and just sit there and leisurely drink your coffee and review the internet, if that's a word. Hey, our guest today is from the Shasta Art Festival, an old-time fiddle jamboree.
That's right. And Rayola, good morning again. Welcome back.
Well, good morning, and thank you very much for having me here today.
Oh, absolutely. This is so exciting. This is May 8th, May 9th, and this is the 39th annual festival, new location, and there's so many things going on. We were talking about the pistoleros, we were talking about the reenactment. So when you go into camp, there's this just give us a visual.
Well, then you get off the bus, you walk on this this old road, and then you come up to a beautiful field, a 100-year-old olive tree, and it's just a rolling hill. You look at two rows of tents, and in those tents are reenactors. We have reenactors from the Civil War and from the Law Dogs and Pistoleros, and they this weekend will be miners with still a touch and a lot of information of the things that they do and love so much. And that's of course part of the era, because we did have the Law Dogs and Pistoleros in our era. We did have, of course, the Civil War during the mining camp days of Shasta.
Well, this is a wonderful time to take your family, and the hours are from 9 a.m. to 5. So that's great. You get up in the morning, you take the kids.
You get breakfast there from 9 to noon.
Yes, you do. The Masons are going to have their all-you-can-stand breakfast, and they're quite colorful in their own right. Then you'll go on down the old historic stage road, and there you'll find the entire eatery section, the food, and then you'll go into the arts and the crafts and walk into the forest a bit, and you'll find the arts and crafts. And you'll, of course, have to watch out for Eric Bartels and his stagecoach, because Eric will be providing a transportation from the parking lot into the art fair site and then down the old historic road. He'll take a little turn, come back up, and do it all again. So and Eric has a stagecoach that he built as a replica of the stagecoach in Shasta. And they are mud wagons.
So you have art and you have crafts. I mean, are there going to be leather goods and like, you know, what are the guys that used to do, like horseshoeing? What are they called?
Farriers.
No,
silversmith. We have metal workers.
Yes.
This year we don't have blacksmith.
That's
but we do have pottery, metal workers, glass, fiber arts, many wonderful opportunities there. And of course, we have music. We have two stages of music. We have the Gold Rush stage with the Jim Dyer Band, the Manzanita Band, and then on Sunday, the Weaverville Lion Dancers,
yeah,
will be blessing the fair and our grounds and then doing their performance. I think that you'll probably be very, very excited to see what they do as a blessing. And, of course, we always have our fiddlers who are down there all day long.
That is so fabulous.
Well, you know, the thing is that it's strongly encouraged that you take the shuttle bus that picks you up from the Shasta High School upper lot. In heavy shoes, no flip-flops.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And again, if you want to come by now, today or the next, throughout the week, we're going to have a $1 off coupon, and otherwise it's $4 at the door. But come by and see us, and Rayol has been so generous in leaving a stack for you, because we do want you to attend. It's going to be a phenomenal Mother's Day. Thank you for being our guest.
And thank you very much. And thank you for what you've done here in our community. It's wonderful. And we all appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. It's easy to do in this community.
And
it's
coming
a great
up,
place.
Somebody else and others that have just really brought forth the most phenomenal local magazine that really embraces things in the North State, the folks from Enjoy Magazine. And we're going to catch up with them here on the other side of this break. Good morning, Reading. Oh, yeah, we are. You know, we're having a great Monday here. We have a really active studio, but let me tell you what, we just got an email. Love it. Greetings from Massachusetts. Listening to the program over our iPhones this morning, Boston has a broken water main, so we're driving north searching for coffee. Really? Love to you both. Hey, shout out to Rick and Lori. You know who you are. I think we just got pictures of you at Niagara Falls. How wonderful. And it was, you know, I love the little iPhones where you can do the videos, because, you know, it's just a quickie, and but you knew exactly where it was when you turned it on. It was like, you know. Anyway, good morning.
What was it?
Well, I can't do the sound of water with the gargling of my throat. I'm sorry. It's not attractive on a Monday morning.
Not with that beautiful voice of yours.
Hey, this morning. Go ahead. You're like looking at me.
The premier magazine in the North State.
Yeah.
Enjoy Magazine, Rhonda Ball and James Mazzetti.
Oh, yeah, we're back.
Oh, we're so happy.
You know, this is going to be a regular part of our programming. Yeah, once a month, in the first Monday of the month, we're going to have them in for about a half an hour, and We're going to talk about not only just what's in the magazine, but what's going on. So good morning.
Good morning. I'm so excited that you guys just got an email from somebody. Where was it? You just said Boston?
Massachusetts. Yeah.
And they're listening to us on the iPhone?
Yeah, you can stream through your iPhone anywhere. And you, Mr. Computer Guy.
I get that. I just didn't really, you know, you when it happens, you kind of are like always like, wow, that's
wow.
awesome.
Wow, yeah.
Well, you should, you know, go to your friends on the days you're going to be on, and plus other days, of course, and then just tell them all over and just let them listen to you and let them listen to what y'all are doing.
It could be, you know, how you get up in the morning and you're on your email.
Our kids listen to us.
That's awesome.
Back in other parts of the country.
Awesome. In fact, you can't hide from us. We could be in Madagascar. You got one of those cars where there, if you have internet capability or a phone capability, we can follow you.
That's awesome. Well, then give a shout out to Boston, Mass. From Enjoy Magazine,
okay.
And hope your water main gets fixed soon so you can take a shower.
compliment for you guys. Where was I the other day? We had some guests on, and from the Bertha, darling woman, and she said, you know, I didn't get the Enjoy Magazine. Everywhere I go, they're out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, wow, okay, well, let me go back. I've got a couple copies, and I gave her a copy, and I said, isn't this the most spectacular magazine? Of course, they put together an incredible magazine from the Fly Shop, you know, that goes, that's worldwide.
Yeah.
So
that's incredible.
They just think that your magazine is spectacular, so compliment to you.
Thank you.
It's flying off the shelves.
Well, yeah, and that's a great thing to bring up. It's a kind of a warning to everybody in the community and the region. We're now at the point where, you know, we're mailing 10,000 of them directly into homes and businesses, and the balance of 10,000 of them actually go on to rack locations and stores and high traffic areas. But we're seeing the magazine disappeared and gone within the first 12 to 15 days. There are no more issues. We're completely out.
But we do usually have them at the office.
Yeah, we'll keep some.
We try and keep a couple cases there so people can come and get them at our office on Placer Street.
Okay, so let's talk about the May issue.
Mm-hmm.
If one hasn't seen the magazine yet, let's talk about what's going on around the North State in May. And Rhonda, you've got your page open to with a little purple highlight thing. Where do we begin?
I'm just going to talk about a couple of the stories that we have. One of them is about a gentleman from Lakehead named Kurt Bowden, and he makes mini tiers, and they're little tiny campers that you can tow behind your Mini Cooper if you have one, or any other vehicle. But they're made right here in the North State, and I think they're just really cool little things, and they're so cute to look at. And
they're a real nod. They're very nostalgic, a very nod to the past, that kind of retro Airstream look. So they have that incredible shine, and I'm not sure specifically what they're made out of, but they look like polished aluminum of some kind.
Kind of like the old what were those old trailers made out of?
Ramblers?
No, that made out of the aluminum, or the polished aluminum.
Is that what it,
Airstream.
Is it aluminum? Was it aluminum?
Yeah, it was aluminum, and those are considered to be like the high end because of how well that they were made.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But so anyway, how wonderful! That's a niche.
And you can sleep in them, and they have little kitchen pantries, all kinds of neat
handmade wood kitchens
really
that kind
pretty.
Of like pop out of them. They're beautiful.
And he's in Lakehead.
Insides are all a beautiful wood.
Your pictures are amazing, by the way.
Oh, well, thanks.
Scrumptious pictures.
I don't
pictures.
Think I took those.
No, Kara Stewart took
those.
Okay.
Yeah.
She does a great job for us.
What's up next after that?
We did a story this month on the people from Behind the Badge and Operation Blue Birthday. And these are wives or spouses of police officers. And they have birthday parties for people for children that might have been, might be in a shelter or.
People that may have been forgotten and shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the police officers bring them gifts. And so a lot of times the kids have bad experiences with police officers. So this kind of brings the police officers and the kids together, and they get gifts for their birthdays, and they get a birthday party, and all the kids that are there get a gift as well.
So they see that the police, because a lot of times police will have to intercede in family problems,
Absolutely.
And they end up taking one of them away.
Well, who did this story?
Carrie did the story.
Carrie Regan. Well, I'll tell you, that's something that just came to light for me today. I never knew that there was an organization called Behind the Badge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beautiful thing that you do with Enjoy Magazine, is you enlighten us here in the North State about what is going on, how we can be involved with things that are, that is a, that's an empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And thank you for recognizing that. That really is the part of the core value of our business, is to, you know, go out there and just find really interesting things to share to the community, so that it motivates and calls to action for people to get involved in all the things that are out there to be a part of, and to make these programs better and more successful so that we can reach more people.
You know, one of the things I saw that you showed me, and that we were going through the magazine, is the bridge.
Oh, the Honey Run Bridge.
The Honey Run Bridge. I looked at it, and you'd think bridges of Madison County.
Exactly. And if you've never been there, it's really something to see.
I have not been there.
It's pretty cool.
Tell us about it.
It is. It's in right outside of Chico, and it is a covered bridge. It's on the National Register of Historic Places and was built in, gosh, when was it built? It was completed in 1887, but it has been rebuilt since then. Let's see. It's
one of the interesting little caveats where these things kind of, when we do stories, they run into just really other neat things. Mm-hmm. One of our designers, one of the core designers that we have that put the magazine together, Amy Holtzen, at our office, asked if she could have a project and go out and shoot, because she likes to shoot with her camera, and said, can I do this one? We said, oh, great, sure. So she went out and she brought these really great shots back. And then a couple days later, we were putting together a basket from our soon-to-be new store that focuses on regionally and locally produced products.
More on that in a moment.
Yeah, and somebody found a bottle of wine that's called Honey Run Wine, and so they brought it to us to put in the gift basket for the Viva Downtown event that was just this last weekend. It was, the picture in the magazine is the exact same picture on the cover, on the front of the bottle of wine.
Oh, wow.
And so you hold the two of them together, and it was just like they were meant to be.
Wow. How synchronistic is that?
Yeah.
It's a three-level covered bridge, the only three-level covered bridge left of the United States,
Right here in outside Chico.
Outside
so
Chico.
People could go down and take a look at it.
That's the very cool thing about what you do, is that you guys find these places that have been there, but, you know, you're bringing them back to light.
Yes, new light.
And we're going to have to take a break, but we have the folks from Enjoy Magazine, and if you haven't somehow gotten a hold of that May magazine, go to Enjoy. We'll talk about their offices later, the new store, some more articles. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, clearly News Talk Radio.
Ladies and
welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567.
754. It's like, it's your turn. Okay, it's going to be, I don't know if this is just, this is the weirdest forecast. Slight chance of thunderstorms today, high of 77, but you know what?
I heard that. Did you hear
I,
that too?
We're on shorts. Well, Jane's in shorts.
We keep saying that. Maybe that's where you heard from.
We're just
and almost slippers, too.
Yeah. And almost.
Our guests are Rhonda Ball and James Mazzetta from Enjoy Magazine, the place to find out anything that's going on, but also to see some of the greatest photography in the North State.
Thank you.
Y'all are getting ready to open up something new.
Yeah, we're just absolutely beaming. We're getting ready to give birth again to another child, I guess you would say. we just recently, as many people know, but many people don't know, moved downtown to be in the heart of Redding and Northern California, and we just really felt like that's where we needed to be, since that's kind of what our magazine reflects. And one of the things that we really are excited about is, we're constantly trying to find ways to support the community and also in return support ourselves in regards to content to the magazine. And one of the things that we had been thinking about for the last probably year and a half was a concept of, you know, how do we get more specifics in a certain category or products that we can feature in the magazine. And so the idea of Enjoy the Store was hatched. And we think it's a really win-win situation. First and foremost, we are going to be putting together a retail store down on Placer Street called Enjoy the Store that allows local and regional producers that don't normally have the opportunity to get their products showcased in a kind of mainstream format. So it's a hybrid. It's a mainstream format as far as retailing, but it's old school as far as the partnerships and bringing the products and those types of things. Everything is going to be very seasonal, limited. The products and inventory will rotate based upon supply because a lot of these people that are going to be producing or do produce products don't make them in huge quantities. It's a hobby. So, you know, it'll become first come, first serve in the store environment. They just, you know, they may have their little website or they may go to farmers markets or they may do certain events, but it's successful for them, but they want a little bit more. And so the store is really basically their store. It's for them to come put their products in, and it's for us to promote them.
Okay, now correct me if I think at one time you were telling me before, and I've been sharing this, so I hope the information is correct, that as you pick your product out, you put it in your basket, you go through, you scan it, you're developing a software that when they scan the number, it tells about who made the product and a little backstory about the product, which is so special. Is that correct?
It is correct. I mean, you're very close. Again, one of the things is that now with the store, we have a new section that'll be coming into the magazine called What's in Store. And with that, basically we will be doing a double page spread on a single product or developer and give you the very in-depth story, the whys, the hows, the passion of that person, let you know what the product is, what's going to be happening in the store, our meet and greets, because people will have an opportunity to come in and sample and do those things. But when you come into the store, there's a section called BYOB, which is Build Your Own Basket, and the whole concept is for you to put together a very personal and meaningful basket from a region. It might be themed like a wine basket. You might buy a couple regional wines, a couple of hand-blown glasses from a local artisan, nuts, and those types of things. But when we come to the register and you check out, when we scan it, it'll be building a card that you'll be able to put in the basket that'll identify each product and who the manufacturer and where it's from. So
this is a great idea.
When can we expect the doors to possibly ish? Just give us an ish.
We're hoping the end of June. Great. We're going to have an open house on June 25th, and that's really kind of making us get it together. By the 1st of July, hopefully, we'll be up and running.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got like 40 seconds left. Mm-hmm. Anything everybody wants to remember here?
Well, I've got my page open to our section in the magazine that's called On the Town, where we just go to events and we feature great things going on.
Right.
And I'm sure you guys have noticed, but the two cutie pies here that we're talking with today have a little feature in here. And this was the Simpson University fundraiser for the new stadium.
Moving stadium.
Yeah, so if you check in with the latest issue, you'll get to see a lot of the people that were there supporting that event. And
right.
You did a beautiful job singing the national anthem, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. It was my honor. So get it on the stands if you, whether it's not off
Enjoy.
The stands, but go downtown.
Enjoy Magazine, Rhonda Ball and James Mazzetta are our guests. Carl Undebott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding. Good morning, Redding. It's 8:05 in the morning. Today's going to be high of 77 with a 20% slight chance of a thunderstorm. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460 on your dial. This is Free Fire Radio, but we call ourselves clearly News Talk Radio. And I am taking your emails, Linda, at KCNR1460.com. And good chance that you might want to email us in the next hour because we are going to be talking about, wow, it's election time, and with us this morning is Leslie Morgan. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
It's great to be back.
Good. Well, so the election is nearing.
Yes, it is.
So, and how's the fight going?
It's going wonderfully. You know, the greatest part is getting out and talking to voters. I really enjoy that when you're there at the doorstep and they come up with their comments, you know, hey, you reduced my value. I didn't even ask. Or your staff was so wonderful to me when I was in there. That's just amazing to be out in the public and hearing that positive feedback on a constant basis.
So explain to our listeners what your office does.
Okay. Well, there's two departments. The recorder side is responsible for the examination for recording requirements. We don't get into the legal issues within a document, but if it possesses the recording requirements, we then record those documents for archival purposes. That allows for the establishment of title, et cetera, on land so that you can do the research to verify land ownership. We also maintain vital records, birth, death, marriage certificates. On the assessor's side, we're responsible for property tax assessments. So most of us relate that to those property taxes that are on our home. That's the one we get in November. It has the payment in December and April. We all love that, don't we? I know. Even I, even I'm not real thrilled about it on a daily basis, but it is part of the reality of what.
If we vote in here, I think you got four against.
I know.
I understand.
And I'm one of the four. I know. I get it that it's not an enjoyable process, but there are a lot of legal issues behind what it is we do in the office. So understanding those laws, rules, and regulations helps us be an advocate for the citizens, because we then know where are the exemptions, where are the exclusions, what qualifies for a base year transfer. So we look for those things as we process. Now, we also do business property assessments. We also do boats, aircraft, possessory interest assessment. There's a lot of other items that we also assess besides just the home ownership, but that is the one that most people are familiar with.
Well, now, when you say you assess other items like boats and everything, that's your office, and you go out there, are those, I know there's a boat tax, and I think it's like 1%.
It's the same percent as the secured roll for the prior year. So if, for example, the bill you just paid that was due November and April, when we close the roll, the unsecured bills that go out in July, that same percentage from the November bill will then be applied to the value against the valuation of the boats, aircraft, or any unsecured assessments we make.
There are a lot of people who this year, I believe, are starting to pay attention to, in the word politics, but pay attention to those who are running for office, who are holding a current office, and you are currently our assessor recorder. Why are you running again? I'm sure many people need to know that.
Well, I truly believe that it wasn't my goal when I started in the office. It was my goal then was to have a career, be a mother, wife, all that good stuff, and have a nice balance. But like I touched on before, what happens is as I'm answering questions with people on the phone, I start realizing just how critical it is that we're being an advocate. So as we go through the process, then my predecessor was retiring, and I said, I believe in this. I believe that there's a balance between our role and our responsibilities to the county offices themselves, and I believe that there's a balance to what the citizens need to be getting from us. So that's where I took the passion. I moved that forward in 2006, and every day, I feel good about what I'm doing. I feel great about the relationships being built with the citizens, and I don't tend to like to be the person out in front, look at me. And that's one of the reasons why this office has been so great, because I get to feel that accomplishment and not have to be in the limelight of sorts, So I get that personal satisfaction. And sometimes people don't realize just how much we do in there for them, but we do.
We're going to take a quick break. This is Carl and the Bot on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Leslie Morgan, County Assessor Recorder. Join us after these messages.
1460 AM, clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming over KCNR1460.com. You can write to Linda for questions here. Linda at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop on Athens Avenue, in the little Cypress Square Shopping Center there. DC, Tim, and the Unknown Haircutter. What a place to go to get your haircut. It's not styling. You won't find gel. You won't find hair dryers. You won't find somebody that's going to come over and buff your nails. No, it's haircuts. And they give great haircuts at very good prices. They have the TV set on, but guess what? You ain't ever going to see Oprah. Man's Last Stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop. Go down there, mention my name, you won't get anything except they'll say hello to you. That's Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue. Our guest is Leslie Morgan, the county assessor recorder.
Hello.
Good morning.
Okay. Well, what do you, you know, your opponent has said that homes in, our homes, our houses here in Reading are overvalued as far as taxes go, and if they should be, there should be a drop of 15% to 20% on the valuation. Your answer to that?
Okay. Well, and I'm going to go back to when I took office, which was January 07. And so the lien date for any one particular year is 12:01 a.m. January 1st. And the revenue and taxation codes that we have elected another set of a body of legislators to enact has made rules that are very clear about the lien date, what sales you can use when you're comparable analysis. So we can use sales prior to the lien date and up to 90 days after. So when I took office in January, first thing we're doing is saying, okay, what the market's been stagnant, not a lot of sales been happening, one up, one down, one up, one down. What's going on with it? So we did numerous meetings with staff, followed a lot of comparable sales, and wound up in a situation where the evidence of the decline was not apparent yet. What was happening is we had a stagnant market, but we couldn't establish a declining market as of the January 1st, 07 lien date. By then, you know, we're May, June, July, we know it's declining for 2008. So in 2008, we went back, we looked at the sales through January 105, about 15,000 sales, reduced 5,496 properties, and we took off $3.8 million off the tax roll. Now, that's the difference between the tax bills that went out, the dollars that people had to write checks for, and what they actually did write checks for. So $3.8 million stayed in the pockets of our citizens here in the county. As of 09, we looked at a little over 32,000 sales. We reduced 16,400 properties. The difference between those bills was $12.7 million. Again, money that stayed in the pockets of the citizens here in the county. Yes, it's an impact to the budgets, the state, county budgets, but my role is to get accurate assessments. This year, we're going back to January 1, 2001. We're looking at a little over 50,000 sales, and we're making those reductions. Now, what you said about the percentage was interesting because not too long ago,
Don't quote anybody on that. That's what I thought I had heard. That,
well, I know, but there was a letter to the assessor, and it referenced it. So I thought, you know, that's a very good point. I need to do that analysis. So I analyzed 09's reductions, changes of value, between what the factor based year value was on those properties and what we reduced them to. So approximately 40% of our properties had reduced by 20% or less. The remaining 60% of our properties reduced over 20%, some of them 40%, some of them 50%. It was truly dependent on what property it was, you know, when they purchased in the peak of the market. But we have to capture all of them. And in the same street, you can have a property that's reduced 10%, 15%, 20%, 5%, 40%, because it depends on when they purchased. Because now what we're trying to do is we're trying to equalize them so they're all representative of current market value now, where base year values fluctuate drastically based on when you purchase property.
What happened? Well, I tell you what, we've got somebody on the phone. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on KCNR. You have a question for Leslie.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I have a small amount of acreage in Shasta County, and a couple of years ago I purchased a tractor from a local dealership.
Mm-hmm.
I get that tractor home, and I don't know, maybe within the next year I get a business statement from the county asserting that I'm operating a business out of my house, because apparently I purchased a tractor such that I would be able to rototill my property and mow and do this and that.
Mm-hmm.
So I end up going down to your office, and I talk to some folks down there, and I explain to them, hopefully in a good way, that I don't operate a business. I purchased this tractor so I could work around my house.
Exactly.
Okay, and I went on and on and on with them, and finally come to find out, okay, I have to pay a yearly tax. I don't know what you call it. Property tax, I don't know what you call it, but I have to pay it on that tractor. And I said, well, what's the guidelines for this? I'm the only one I know that pays this tax. I know probably hundreds of people that own tractors, and I'm the only one paying a tax. I said, what's the threshold?
Here.
And I was given a relatively low dollar number, and I said, well, that means that everybody that buys a riding lawnmower out of Sears should be paying a yearly property tax. I don't get it. And even to this date, I've got another card and another paper from your office saying, fill out this business form. Wait a minute. I've explained to you folks two or three times. I've been down to your office. I've wrote it on a piece of paper, written it on a piece of paper for you, and no success. Still asserting I'm running a business. Please come look. I'm not running a business. Just trying to take care of my property.
And let me clarify. With tractors and heavy mobile equipment, essentially it falls under the same category as like a boat or an aircraft. And what happens is, even with a vehicle, you're paying a property tax portion. That's the vehicle license fee you pay to the DMV. The difference is that anything that doesn't have that collection of those license fees through DMV, we're then required to assess at an assessor level. So what happens is, whether it's a UCC filing, the special plated equipment from DMV that we get, we have a responsibility to provide due diligence in the discovery of items such as a tractor. Now, again, because it falls under a different portion of the revenue and taxation code, because the code is written like this, it says everything's taxable unless it's exempted. Personal household furnishings are exempted. Tractors are not. Unfortunately, what happens is we also have guidelines as to the state mandated forms that go out. Now, we have actually, and you might be the stick that prodded us in this direction a little more, because unfortunately the business property statement does say just that, business property statement. And because you fall under a different portion of the code, it leads you to believe that we think you're functioning as a business. So we're actually changing our forms so that we're putting it on a line item detail. You're going to see a different form next year in the mail, because we're trying to get that clarity to the citizens so that as you are looking at it, you can then say, well, but I'm not running a business, but you will understand that regardless of the business side of it, there's still an accessible nature to the tractor that you own. And so then we're still responsible for getting a form out to you, getting it back from you, and making the assessment. Whether or not you return it, we're still stuck with the responsibility of assessing it. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people who slide under the radar, and as many different discovery mechanisms as we can put in place, we can't assure that we get everybody. Our standard response is, you can tell us about them. That's not something that people usually like to do, and we don't get, that's not an avenue we pursue, is go narc on your neighbor. So we don't go after that. But unfortunately, I can't make it right by not assessing you correctly. All I can do is do everything possible to make sure that I'm assessing everyone that I can discover.
And good answer. I appreciate what you're saying. What is the dollar threshold? Are you supposed to be taxing a riding lawnmower that comes out of Sears?
Well, what happens is statewide, it's no less than 400, no more than 5,000. Each county sets their own minimum assessment value. In Shasta County, we have a minimum assessment value of 2,000 in value. So depending on the size and nature of a riding mower, it can quite possibly qualify. Now, there are also depreciation rates that get applied to the valuations, and typically because they're only assessed for maybe a year or two, we don't actively pursue them. We don't have anything in place to track them down.
So, Mark, did you know that when you bought your tractor that you're going to be assessed on it year after year?
Well, I had no clue. And even this, I don't know a riding lawn. There's very few riding lawnmowers that fall underneath that dollar value.
Yeah, the 2,000.
And again, how had I known, maybe I might have gone and bought a used one, and then there's no record. But, I'm tired of paying taxes. I pay enough taxes. I get virtually nothing back for it.
I think that.
I love Prop 13, but at the same time, I hate it. I pay three times the tax that my neighbor pays, and I understand that's Prop 13, and I don't want the elderly generation to get taxed out of their property, but doggone it, when you're paying taxes for stuff that your neighbors aren't, and this discovery mechanism, it's a very interesting terminology.
It's a great place for an exemption.
What is discovery? Somebody, are you searching the loan papers? I mean, what is it? Because I can go down to Sears every day and watch a riding mower get sold that's over this dollar value, and some of them are might be double that. There's some very expensive lawnmowers out there. So, you know, it just seems very, I don't know if subjective is a word, but it's opportunistic in some senses. What all are we taxing? I'm tired of being taxed. I got a tractor.
Hey Mark, we've got
yard and I got to pay.
Yeah, hey Mark, we've gone like 4 minutes over where we should have a commercial because this is really interesting. What we're going to do is after the break, because I've got some other questions too, which this is brought up to. The last question is: did they tell you you were going to have to pay a continuing tax after they bought the after you bought the tractor?
No, sir, no clue
okay.
at all.
Now see, hey Mark, thanks so much for your phone call.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Hey, this is Carl on the bot. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, our phone lines here, 605-4567. Leslie Morgan is in the seat today, our county assessor recorder, and our last caller had a great question, how do you do this? And one of the things that we've talked about offline here was that when somebody buys a product, they are probably not told, in many cases, they're not told that they're going to be taxed on this product, this tractor, this boat, this airplane, whatever they buy, forever, or as long as they have it.
Who was it recently who talked about the oh, by the ways? I can't remember where I heard that, but yeah, and that's where we come in, because now we're the bearer of bad news yet again. And you got this form, and what's this about? And we start at the beginning. We explain the process. We walk them through it. And that's part of what I was talking about initially, because my goal was always by the end of any conversation to get the person on the other line to understand what it is we're dealing with, the laws, rules, and regulations. When I threw out the item that it'd be a great place for an exemption, I don't control what gets exempted or not. I have a responsibility to assess what's not exempted, and we perform all of our due diligence and our discovery mechanisms through many different avenues. However, I don't have control of saying, well, we're just not going to assess that unless it's exempted.
We're taking your emails here, Linda at KCNR 1460, if you have any questions for Leslie Morgan. And you don't want to call, or you're busy and you can't, you're at work.
You don't want your boss to know you're listening to the show. They're probably over down in the assessor's office right now. They all got their little earphones on.
We're going to have to take a hard break here with Fox News.
In about 30 seconds. When we come back, we want to talk about, not just the assessments, but you talked about waivers or exemptions. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk a little bit about that, and then talk about what you're seeing here in the future as far as the property values and where your office is going. Okay, Leslie. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest is Leslie Morgan, the Shasta County Assessor Recorder.
Exactly.
In a re-election campaign right now.
Yes, we are.
And what's the big date?
June 8th.
Wow, that's right around the corner.
Of course, we have a lot of absentee voters, so they're going to be voting in a couple weeks.
Now, where are you going to be in the next couple weeks where people can meet you, hear your platform, just ask you questions, listen to you speak? Where are you going to be?
Happy Valley has a forum coming up on May 13th, and Millville has a forum coming up on May 14th. So Thursday and Friday night, not this week, next week, you can come out and listen to me and many of the other political candidates.
Is there are they debate formats, or just, we're going to just talk and ask questions?
So far they've been asked questions, and please give your answer, not necessarily rebuttals to any other statements that are made by other candidates.
But you're not adverse to a debate?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right.
I debate every day.
What would you say in holding your position at the present time would be the thing that you like most about it?
I love that it gives me something good to feel about with the balance between the citizens and the government. The assessor's office is one of the few revenue-generating departments. I consider that a byproduct of the reality of accurate assessments. You know, it's essential that we are getting it right. We don't want to be entering 30,000 roll corrections because we reduced properties too much, which did happen in Santa Clara County, and they sent out 30,000 escape notices to people and said, oops, we took off too much of your value. So our goal is to be getting it right, be moving forward on a daily basis. I'm blessed to have talents in many other areas with computer technology, items like that. So we have probably close to 50 different programs in the office that I've built over the 14 years I've been there, creating better efficiencies. So we're getting the job done better, more quickly, more accurately, and we combine it with staff personnel. So we don't just trend the numbers in the county. We print out useful tools. The appraisers use those tools to value the properties and roll these reductions. And then we have other tools for importing values. We have other tools for processing fictitious business names, building permits, you know. So we combine the future of technology with the essence of having somebody who can look at the value, recognize that they know your neighborhood, that they know where your property is, and process that information for you.
What do you do when you've got a neighborhood like we live in, mm-hmm. that there's a variety of homes?
Mm-hmm. We call it a mixed neighborhood where you could have a couple $100,000 in difference in prices from across the street to the next door neighbor.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we keep appraisers assigned to areas so that they're familiar with that, because it can be models, the variance and models of a home, or it can just be that people can build whatever they wanted in that particular area. And that's where we get into quality class, price per square foot. You know, there's a lot of different components that go into what we need to look at in order to determine the correct comparables to use in analyzing your review of your property. Typically, we're doing that at a sales level in the change of ownership, but right now we're doing a majority of that with our property reviews and looking for the decline in values.
We were when we refinanced a couple years ago, they had to go for like 2 miles around us to try and find you know comparable homes that and even then that was kind of apples and oranges at mm-hmm. that point. So I was just wondering, because a lot of people running into that. Because of the mixed yeah. neighborhoods we have here in Reading, that something, either the zoning regulations weren't real clear or something mm-hmm. when people put up a house and another house behind it. So, anyway, I'm just wondering about that. What do you see, right now, because, the city of Reading just got ready to take another $2.3 million in hits here. Yeah. Shasta County is, with the assessment still going down and the businesses mm-hmm. not growing or leaving.
Oh, yeah.
What do you see is coming in the future here, Leslie?
Well, for this year in particular, one of the biggest things I could stress is that we typically, the factored Prop 13 value is protected by a factoring of no more than 2% per year. This year it's going to be a negative 0.25%. Now, that's a very small decline. If you had a $200,000 value, it's only a difference of $5 in your bill. But the reality is that for all those homeowners, and last year it was 83% of our homeowners, property owners, were still protected by their Prop 13 value. Last year, those values still went up by that 2%. This year, they're not even going to go up. So we consider that kind of the base of our property tax. So when we're not even experiencing a 2% increase in those, the most of the changes of ownership that are happening are coming from the peak of the market and reselling again now because of the foreclosures. So in other words, most of our changes are negative supplementals or, a decrease in the factored base year value. Rather than if an older home was selling up to current market, we would still see a positive increase in a total roll. So currently, there's just not a lot of area for positive increases to our roll. The reality, though, is I think we're going to be in this for years with many of these property owners. We could be 10 years down the road and still be doing quite a few of these Prop 8 reviews in trying to determine when the market will become beyond their factored base year value again, because we need to do these reviews despite the increases that will happen in the future. We still have to review those homes until the market goes back beyond what their base is.
And we've heard that that could take years. Mm-hmm. You know, with, you know, anywhere from the car industry to the real estate market, and in some areas it won't come back for a decade.
Exactly.
Not especially here, but I know that that's what they said in Las Vegas and those areas. It's going to take a decade to finally try and, if it starts to come back at all back there. Hey, our guest is Leslie Morgan, the Shasta County Assessor Recorder, and she's here to answer your question. She's running for re-election this year, and the a lot of the questions about, you know, about your property taxes. I mean, you know, that's, you know, whatever, depending on where you're at is, is, you know, anywhere, you know, $10,000 or $12,000 you can bite if you've got the high end property taxes. Mm-hmm. But it's always a bite every month. And if you haven't had, if you live in the city or the county, mm-hmm. and you haven't had your taxes reduced, your property taxes reduced, mm-hmm. they need to give you all a call. Is that right?
If when they look at their tax bill they had received in November and the valuation on it, say, was $180,000. If you believe your house would have sold last year, January 1st, 2009, for $180,000 or more, then you're still protected by that Prop 13 value. If you believe last year it would have sold for $150,000, then yes, exactly. Those are the properties we're searching out to make sure we're doing those reductions. Right now we're in the current year's cycle. Most people have made those payments. We've dealt with all those calls, and you know, we're trying to seek out as many as possible.
Great. Okay, Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Wow.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bot. Our phone line's here, 605-4567.
It's 8:45 in the morning. Today our forecast is going to be high of 77 with a slight chance of thunderstorms. I don't know.
You know what? You keep saying that, and okay, I'm
20%.
I'm the naysayer. That's I don't remember that anywhere. What's the radar say? Radar doesn't say anything. You have to look at it. I got
tonight
it.
Mostly clear with a low of around 48, with a northwest wind between 8 and 15 miles per hour, with gust up to 23 miles per hour. I think that's why my eyes are watering. I'm just having a 61 degrees currently right now. If you're just tuning in, we're taking your emails, Linda at KCNR1460.com. If you have a question for our special guest,
Leslie Morgan, the Shasta County Assessor Recorder.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, thanks for coming on, Leslie. This is your second time, and, you know, we're having all the candidates on, you know, as many as we can before the election, so people can get to know what they think. You know, as we were talking, is I think it's the greatest thing in the world that we have elections where, you know, where the candidates, then the incumbents and the ones that are running for their office come out and they say, this is what I stand for, this is what I do, this is the way I'm going to run the office. You know, people that run unopposed mm-hmm. don't have to do that. I mean, you can get them on if they come on, and some, believe it or not, refuse to come on because I don't know what they're afraid of, but you know, Tom Bosenko comes on. And nobody's running against Tom, but Tom comes on, you know, and he shares what he thoughts, where he's coming from, and thoughts like that. But our election process is just so important. People just need to be involved. And we love having, you know, people on so you can talk about what you are. And who are you? I mean, who really knows who Leslie Morgan is except now?
And at a local level, hey, what more could you ask for?
There you go.
We're out here with you at the soccer games and the dance recitals, and, you know, we're intermingling on a daily basis, and to know that you have that hands-on approach with your local government is amazing.
And you are accessible.
Exactly.
So if one wants to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Well, there's many different ways. If they are office questions, obviously you can always contact me at the office. But if you're wanting to know more about me as a political candidate, I do have a website, reelectlesliemorgan.com. I am the only candidate who has experience in the office, education, both formal and specific to the office, with an advanced appraisal certificate, and I am the only candidate who can offer a long-term commitment. I will be here in 10 years still answering those questions as to why we're doing what we are doing now in 10 years. So, you know, I'm in it with you. I'm here by your side to walk you through the process, never to turn away and hightail it out of here. I'm going to be there. Even if it's at the appeals board, we help you understand what the appeals board is going to be looking for, what it takes, where their questions are going to be, and how we have to approach it. Because there's some things that they can adjust that we can't, even in the office.
You know, now one of the things we were talking about during the break, it's too bad that the breaks aren't being recorded because we get into some discussions here. But we were talking about business property taxes, and Leslie says, bring it down to the office. Exactly. That your people are trained to help you with all aspects mm-hmm. of filling out those forms, and you all are very, very familiar with them.
Yes. That's what I did for 11 years, and I always say, because people will be like, oh, thank you. That's what we're there for. Walk in, we'll open your file, we'll ask you the questions that are most specific to your kind of business, because those business forms are created for all businesses. And we know that half the questions don't apply. We can buzz through them, explain that, you know, we need an NA, you know, do you have a leased equipment? No. Do you have stock? No. You know, it is very complicated in the element of how many questions are there, but we can simplify it to the way it needs to be approached for your business, where you report stuff, making sure you get disposals off of there, make sure you're not including exempt software, make sure, you know, you understand the balance between what goes on the form and what doesn't need to be there. So,
how do you get a waiver? Like, I buy a tractor for my property just to cut the grass. And now I'm getting hit with a tax. How do I get a waiver for that? You know, like I just wanted to cut my grass.
Yeah.
Why do I have to pay the cost of this tractor over 20 years?
Yeah. There's no waivers. There are different exemptions, like
okay,
I touched
exemption.
on before, and exemptions have to go through the state legislature. So you need to find an assemblyman, a senator. The CAA, the California Assessors Association, might give input to the process, and you know we could explain that the element is that. Because of the discovery process not being thorough enough, you know, we don't have a mechanism in place to make sure everybody's all paying. You know, we could give input
that's not fair taxation then, right?
Well, and that's what we're shooting for. So that's what I mean is, as an association, we can give input to the process, very similar to the discussions we've had here, that we're going to do whatever we can, but we do also recognize where it creates a sense of gray out there. And we can give that to the legislative body. We can help, you know, give input as to either what can... Now, they might go the other direction. They might decide, okay, now the tractor sales companies are going to have to send reports in to you so that you can... make sure they're all taxed fairly. But that's their call. As senators, as assemblymen, they need to make those decisions if they were going to apply an exemption to something like a tractor.
Okay, we've got to take a break here in a minute for our last segment. But, you know, some of the things we're starting to see is taxes coming up. They're talking about taxing prosthetic devices, you know, under the new health care plan. But the other things, too, is like taxing...
Haircuts.
Are you going to go into that one, the beauty shop, the services? What do you think about, you know, seeing that come down the line?
And you're referring to applying, like, a sales tax on those items. My husband does orthopedics and prosthetics. So
Did you see that they're going to start taxing for veterans prosthetic and children's devices?
I didn't read that. That's amazing, especially our veterans. I mean, you know, these people are literally given an arm and a leg to support their country. How do you...
I have it right here.
How do you tax that?
Well, you know how you
but,
stop that?
You know,
you take the senators that are voting for it and you vote them out.
Well, like I said, we are administrative and technical in nature, and unfortunately, whatever's going on at the senator assembly level, once it becomes law, we're required to adhere to it.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460, clearly, News Talk Radio.
State government.
You're listening to KCNR 1460. It's 8:55 on this beautiful Monday morning. It's going to be high of 77 today. Let's go to the phones. Jim, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning. Hey, I wanted to ask Leslie... on diesel equipment that will be affected by the AB 32, although AB 32, I understand, has been held off for a little while, the value of that equipment has dropped a whole bunch. Can come in and get it reassessed, get reevaluated?
Yeah, what we're doing currently with most of that diesel equipment is because we, again, have to follow what's going on in the marketplace. So as those laws come through and it is affecting what's going on in sales, we can then look towards, get away from the cost approach to value and look towards we call it a manual valuation. So we look at Ritchie Brothers, we go into the, we get other kind of blue book information on that diesel equipment. So that's where we get the best reflection of what's actually happening. We actually subscribe to one of the Ritchie Brothers sites. It tends to be a good model for us. We can look up kind of throughout, not just in Northern California, because sometimes you don't find pieces of equipment up here that are more similar to the equipment you might have. But when I first became an auditor appraiser, we actually had a lot more manual valued equipment. And then as the time changed, we got away from that because the market itself was changing. And now we're getting back into it. So I just a couple weeks ago had quite a bit of discussion with staff on how to go through that process, because some of our newer staff had not done manual valuations except for hit and miss here and there. But we are trying to look at that as we go through, especially with this diesel equipment and these new legislations that are affecting the value.
Okay, well, good. I just wanted to point out you are cutting the value of it down, though, so we will be looking for a lesser tax. But I have to come in to tell you before I can get a lesser tax value on it, right?
It's always good to have the conversation with us to at least say, can you look at the valuation of it? And then we'll compare it to the depreciation rates and see which one is the lesser on that piece of equipment.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for the phone call, Jim.
Hey, we've got about 3 minutes left, so would you like to have your closing thoughts?
Well, the best thing I can say is that the departments are administrative and technical in nature. It really does take a level of expertise to be able to make correct budgeting decisions, management decisions. By the time a call gets to my level, I'm making a policy call for the administration of the either department, one or the other. And I need to know how it affects all of staff. If it's if it's a change of ownership, it needs to know what the next part of the process is going to be. The valuation itself is just one portion, a very critical element. That's why we have so many professional staff in that part. But there's also so much more to ensuring accuracy in valuations. That's why I've always stated lowest possible, most accurate assessments, because it's beyond just the valuation. It's exemptions, exclusions. Is it a reappraisable event? What portion is reappraisable? You know, there's so much to the process on the recording side, you know, not stepping into the legality of it, the recording documents. I actually probably spend 2 to 1 the amount of time with county council type of input on the recorded documents over and above the assessment side.
If we want to see our property lines, mm-hmm. come to you?
Well, we do map them for assessment purposes. We're not the keeper of those. The legal boundaries of sorts, we don't ensure the accuracy of it. We will have an assessment map, which may or may not have been split by like a tax rate area.
Uh-huh.
So one legal parcel could be divided into two.
So, all right. Well, that answers my question.
Exactly.
Wow, Leslie, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Every time you come on, more information. It's a spirited race.
And the show will be on our archives on freefireradio.com.
Every one of our shows is archived, so you can always go back and say, maybe I should have said this.
Yeah.
And or not said that. We say that all the time. Hey, our guests this week are going to be tomorrow, Ron Largent. Wednesday will be Connie Grinnell, the auditor, and then Thursday, Randall Faulkner. And Friday, Doug LaMalfa, and also the president of the California Department of Veterans of Foreign Wars. We've got a big week coming, plus a number of other parts. Asphalt Cowboys, hey, it's a big week, my friends. This is Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Well, which are you?
And this is KCNR, Shasta Redding.